Our adversary is seeking to devour us as a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8. But he hides his identity. Remember in the garden, he was the serpent. Genesis 3:1-2. And he appears as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Therefore, every member of the Lord's church must remain faithful by continual obedience to the precious gospel of Christ. And if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, why not? What's more important than your soul? And as a gospel preacher, the gospel which I preach, if it's not the gospel of Christ, may I be silenced. Today, there is a growing lack of respect for God, our Creator, and His inspired written word in our beloved country. Many do not have a proper view at all of Almighty God, our Creator. Even in the Lord's church, there are brethren trying to adjust the gospel of Christ to the culture in which we live. But we need to understand, every one of us, we're to respect all of God's commands. That's right. Notice with me now, as we go to 2 Samuel 22:33-31. I want us to notice, as for God, and again, this is 2 Samuel 22:31-33. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. The question is, do we believe that? Well, we should. All of us who are accountable, every one of us should believe that. Notice with me now Psalm 119, verse 6 and verse 128. Verse 6, starting, Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. 128 now. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. We're not to hate the sinner. No, we're not to hate anyone. God loves every soul. That's right, we know that. But God hates sin, and we should too, every false way. Now, since we're to respect all God's commands and realize the all-sufficiency of God's inspired word, the question is, are we doing just that? 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction unto righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Not sinless perfect, but mature. The Bible is complete. We don't need to add to it, and we must not take away either. This is the Word of God. If we have a reliable translation. 2 Peter 1:3, notice with me. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's right. We've been called to glory and virtue, and we need to recognize that the Bible contains all things unto life and godliness. Therefore, nothing is lacking. Now, with this in mind, let's ask ourselves, am I standing in the gospel? That's right. I need to answer that honestly. Am I standing in the gospel? And I hope you'll do the same as we'll continue our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we come together to study the precious Word of God in our Bible classes, and then to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern in truth, but also having a proper attitude in spirit. John 4:24. Now, I want to emphasize the initials PFE. I didn't forget that. You thought I did. No, sir. We need to keep in mind preparing for eternity every day and do just that. Now, we want to mention this. We're always looking forward to having Bible studies, sitting together and opening up the Word of God and studying what does God say for me to do to have salvation? How am I to live the Christian life and get out of a sinful life? We can set that up at your convenience. And we also have Bible correspondence courses available free, of course. Now, here's our address to write to us if you have questions, Bible questions or comments, positive or negative. 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, we have a very important announcement as our gospel meeting is fast approaching. September the 11th through the 13th. September the 11th through the 13th. That would be Friday and Saturday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning Bible class, 9:30 a.m., the worship service hour, 10:30 a.m., then a potluck lunch that you're sure to enjoy after the worship service, and then the afternoon worship service closing out the meeting at 1 p.m. Who is our speaker? Brother Ronnie Whittemore, who you should know if you're in the Lord's Church here in this area. Brother Ronnie is an outstanding gospel preacher. I know his family, and he comes from good stock, I can tell you that, and a good friend, and I appreciate hearing Brother Ronnie preach from time to time. He's been here before, and I hope you'll make your plans to join us and hear the good news of salvation, and bring your family. Let's get to know each other, and we'll look forward to meeting you. Thank you so much. Now, let's get back to our study, as we're asking the question, where do I stand? I need to stand in the gospel is the point of the question. If I'm not standing there, it's not too late to change. But notice with me now, 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. There it is. Wherein ye stand. Now that's where we need to be standing, in the gospel, the faith. The one system of faith that will save us from our sins by the blood of Christ. Notice verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, we could fall away if we're not staying with the truth. Yes, we must continue to obey and hold to the truth. Now, I want us to notice something here as we continue our study in Where Do I Stand? There's a great urgency for every member of the Lord's church to recognize not only the three avenues of temptation which Satan uses, and we know that's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Genesis 3:6, Matthew 4:1-12, Matthew 4:1-12, 1 John 2:15-17. But Satan also has allies, worldly power, which includes corrupt governments and false philosophy. Do we see some of that going on around us? If we got our eyes open, we're seeing it. Yes. People coming into politics who want to tear up the Constitution. Yes, and they want to recreate something different. Are they godly people? Do they even say anything at all about how God is gracious and merciful, having sacrificed His only begotten Son in order for our salvation? Do we hear anything like that from them? No, I think not. Number two, here's another ally of Satan, false religion. Get people confused. There is no truth for a lot of people. They don't think you can find it. But Jesus said you could if you continue in His Word. Then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. Now, number three is Satan has another ally, and that's worldly lust. Just study Revelation, the Revelation, chapters 12, 13, and 17. All these evil instruments are based on Satan's lies. John 8:44. And again, Revelation, of course, is difficult, and symbols are used, but you can understand how ungodliness, the Roman Empire fell because of persecuting the church, number one, but also because of their immorality. So study 12, 13, and 17 there and see that. These are allies of Satan. And so as we are seeing on the news and watching the news or hearing it or whatever, reading it, whatever, do we notice how many people now are blindly following so-called politically correct leaders? They can call themselves different names like socialist. Some are even outright saying communist. Others who claim to be some type of woke person, having been enlightened, not from the Word of God. No, we don't want to indicate that. They're certainly just the opposite. And so they have an ungodly, stagnant, liberal mindset. And if you study Romans 1:18-32, you'll see a description by the inspired Apostle Paul of what I'm talking about. So all accountable souls are either standing in the gospel of Christ or tossed to and fro with the winds of deception. Well, let's prove that. Let's prove that. Ephesians 4:14. If we'll notice that together as you turn in your Bibles, with me to Ephesians 4:14, because this is what we're seeing with so many today. Notice that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's right, they're lying in wait to deceive. So we need to be on guard and not be deceived and not be tossed to and fro. See, we want to be standing firm in the gospel of Christ. That's right. And here's something else. All accountable souls are either faithful in the church of Christ, which is the church Jesus died for, purchased it with his blood, and he promised to build my church, he said. And he is the foundation, he is the head of his spiritual body. Now, if you want to call it something else, you need to ask yourself, who died for the church? If I don't recognize that as Christ, then I don't see the truth. Church of Christ. What does that mean? It means Jesus possesses the called out. That's what the word church means, called out of sin into the marvelous light, and having been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, we're thus saved from our sins. Yes. Church of Christ. We're either faithful in the church of Christ or lost in one sense. I don't want to be lost. I want to be saved by the blood of Christ. Don't you? Well, then we've got to do it God's way. Look at Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now let's go over to chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, before they obeyed the gospel, that is, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan is the prince of this world. Do we want to stay in the world and follow him and have worldly thoughts and not godly thoughts? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was in the past, if we've obeyed the gospel and had our sins washed away. But, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. But it's not grace alone, is it? It's our obedience to the gospel combined with the grace of God. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're either faithful in the church of Christ or we're lost in our sins. And here's another point. All accountable souls are either standing for Christ or standing against him. He that is not with me scattereth abroad. Didn't Jesus say that? Yes, he did. Matthew 12:30. Let's note that. So now, here's a question for us to consider with the time left. And I want to have several lessons dealing with where do I stand in the gospel, or being tossed to and fro, either faithful in the church of Christ, or I'm lost in my sins, or either I'm standing for Christ, or I'm standing against Him. So we want to continue our study on this, but before our time is up, let me mention this question. Has the Bible become obsolete for the time in which we live? You know, there's a lot of people that think it is, and they live like it, even if they didn't admit it. So this question has to be answered in every generation, because Satan knows the power of God's Word, and he desires that it be removed from the hearts of mankind. Study the parable of the soils in Luke 8. Luke 8, and you'll see that, verses 11 and 12. He knows the power of the Word of God, where the birds came and ate the seed, removed it on the hard ground. Well, that's Satan not wanting the seed to stay there. It might germinate. The person might soften up their heart. He doesn't want it to stay there. You see that? Now, there's a growing number of people in our beloved country who believe that the Bible is not sufficient for modern man of the 21st century, while many others have an attitude of total indifference towards God's Word. Now, this is true. We don't like it. I don't like having to say that, but it's true. You think back in 2013, that's been in a number of years back, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 against the Defense of Marriage Act. So now, you have states with rights to approve same-sex marriages. What's that done for children? They're adopting children, and then people say, well, this is fine, there's no problem, they're loved. That's not the same as a father and a mother, as God set it forth. You want to argue with God? I don't. I want to stay with His way, and I'm not ashamed to state it. For many years, our tax dollars have been used to fund Planned Parenthood, which is an organization doing just the opposite, killing innocent babies. Do we talk about the baby's rights? What do you hear? It's the mother's right. Nothing about the baby's right to live. And it's still going on. Even after Roe versus Wade was taken out. There's continual attacks on God's Word, along with promoting ungodliness, as you watch a number of TV programs and other media outlets. Oh, yes. And the music our young people listen to. Today, even in the Lord's church, a number of brethren have the belief that the Holy Spirit leads them in a miraculous way, separate and apart from the Word of God. Well, if that be true, why do we need the Word of God? What would be the point if we're led around by the Holy Spirit without the Word? You see how false that is. It leads to a reduced confidence in God's Word is what that does, and a false security in one's feelings. I want to do this. I can pretend that God is leading me to do it. And I know in my own family where some of my relatives believe that, and when it was time to move, it was God's will. Didn't matter what the consequences were. But let's go on. Has the Bible become obsolete for the time in which we live? The answer is a resounding no. No, of course not. We have the complete revelation of God by having access to all 66 books contained in the Bible. Since that which is perfect is come, 1 Corinthians 13:10, 1 Corinthians 13:10, there will be no further revelations from God. God's word is perfect. Psalm 19:7, James 1:25, the perfect law of liberty. Perfect law of liberty. We need to get that embedded in our minds. Since the Bible is God's final revelation to man, it will never become outdated or obsolete. 1 Peter 1:23-25, let's note. 1 Peter 1:23-25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now Peter referred to Isaiah 48. Now, the Bible is all-sufficient, all-authoritative, verbal, plenary, and only divine standard of the truth which God breathed. Came from the mind of God, inspired, the writers were, by the Holy Spirit, as proven by the overwhelming evidence, unity of the 66 books, no mistakes in history or geography. What about prophecy? There's over 300 concerning Christ, about cities, leaders, of course, many other things there we could talk about. Scientific facts. Yes, they're in the Bible. The earth standeth upon nothing. It's not resting on something, as many thought in the years back. We know that's not true, of course, but Job knew it. By the inspiration of the Bible, many other scientific facts, foreseeing every religious error in refuting it. That's another evidence for the inspiration of the Bible. Indestructibility. How many attacks have been on the Word of God over the years? Superior wisdom, and many other evidences could be given. The Bible is the only book that tells sinful man what he often does not want to hear, yet it survives as the world's most popular book. The Bible is the very essence of moral excellency. The all-sufficient Word of God, the Holy Bible, is man's only guide to true happiness in this life and to eternal life in heaven. Matthew 5:1-12. Now, as our time is about gone, let me mention the inspired writers made it clear that the one gospel system called the faith must be preached and defended. Yes. And another means for proving the Bible is all sufficient for man as he is, no matter in which century he lives, is by answering the following question: what if everyone followed the Bible today? What would happen? What a great thought that is. But at this time, I want to mention we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ and being able to stand in the gospel faithful even unto death. We'll go over the plan of salvation together, and we can understand to be immersed into the water grave, the contact of blood of Christ. He will add us to his body, the true church, and we thank you so much for listening today.